Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. Forgive my attendance this last while, but my health has not been 100%. And one thing I do not like to do is come on here and try to talk and then start coughing and, you know, all that other nasty stuff you get when you have a flu or a virus. The fact is, I'm still coughing and I'm still blowing my nose. But trust me, if I had it on here a week ago or two, even 2 weeks ago, I was really in not great shape. I've really been struggling all winter with this. So anyway, forgive me, folks, if I'm rambling on about something that ails me. So tonight I'm going to be talking about boundaries. Now, in light of a bunch of things, I shouldn't say a bunch of things, one particular thing, which I'm going to dive in a little bit and talk about. But anyway, first I need to make a few things clear, folks. One, I'm not here to be your doctor or therapist or anything of the sort. I'm here on my own accord talking about childhood sexual abuse. I am a facilitator at the Gatehouse. I've been part of the Gatehouse for the last 8 years. And what I'm doing is I came in there as a survivor wanting help because my life was a total train wreck. I came in there and I'm wanting to help myself because I was at my wit's end, rope end. In fact, I was not in good shape at all. So I went there, and they basically helped me help myself. How much I talk about all the time about what I do for myself, helping myself, and that's the idea of going there in peer support. That has been my experience, and this is what I'm passing on to you. I would never tell you what to do or what you should do or could do or would have done or could have done or would have done, all that stuff. I won't even waste my time. I'm not here to do that. But I will tell you about my own experiences, which I've been talking about. And I will continue to do so. When I'm feeling a little bit better, which I'm obviously feeling a little bit better, and I'm back here tonight. Tonight I'm not broadcasting live in the Gatehouse. I'm also broadcasting later on in the evening. It's just the only time I've had available. And the great thing about doing a podcast is you can go back at any time, anywhere, and you can listen to this. So, folks, if you don't listen to it tonight, you listen to it a week from now or a year from now, that's the beauty of this, is this is here forever. You can come back and listen to whatever show, not just my show, but many other shows as well, through Blog Talk Radio. That's the wonderful thing about this. This media, it allows you to talk about stuff and share it with the world versus doing it over regular radio, over a regular AM radio or FM radio. Granted, I still love that, nevertheless, to use it, listen to it, sort of thing, but I don't have a radio station. And actually, this is actually even better when I come to think about it, because like I say, as that point I just made it, is that I can talk throughout the world. It's wonderful. And talk about getting an audience without having to have this big, tall tower outside my house just to get around. I mean, granted, I could have a shortwave radio as well. For those who would remember what that's all about, I won't talk about that now, but I'll leave that for now. God, my memory escapes me. Nevertheless, folks, I'm not broadcasting live from the Gatehouse tonight. I'm actually sitting on my couch, cozy, sipping on a coffee, as I always like to talk about, and which I do through social media. I do love my coffee. And it's my thing, you know, next to drugs and alcohol, which really don't agree with me. And this is my scapegoat. I love my coffee. And folks, so tonight I'm talking about boundaries. And what I was getting into before I went off on a tangent there, talking about what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing, I wanted to talk about boundaries and why I'm coming back to boundaries. I know I talked about it not too long ago, and this is one of these things, by the way, I'm going off on a tangent again, is that boundaries are so important, and one of the things we talk about at the Gatehouse, and even outside the Gatehouse, for myself, boundaries are always very, very important. And I know before I went to the house, I had no boundaries. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Trolls is what I'm talking about. Through social media, and I'm talking about Twitter, for example. Now, I know on Facebook, they have a really, really good defense platform there for getting at that. So for spam, porn, all kinds of crap like that. They got a really good filtration system in there to get that stuff out of there. Well, unfortunately, Twitter is not quite the same, although they're getting there, but they're not quite the same. But what Twitter does have, it is a beautiful, beautiful function, which I love it. It's so easy to get at. If somebody tweets you something or DMs you something, and you see that it's just plain shit, and they trigger you to all the hell, what you do is you block it and you report it. It's just that simple. Well, maybe not in the time you might be thinking, or your mind frame at that time, you may not be thinking that. You may be just totally like, what the hell is this person doing and talking about? Well, I'm here talking about childhood sexual abuse and being a survivor. Well, when I get something like that happen to me, I would be very, very triggered. Although I handled it in my own way, as everybody else handles it in their own way. So I choose to just block and report, but I did just to, I guess I could say I slightly entertained myself by talking to some of these people that think that they can, get sympathy from survivors when they're pedophiles themselves. And then they try to mask themselves under the friggin' rainbow, which is even more disgusting. The LGBTQ community, I'm sure, are not too pleased about this whatsoever. And why would I don't know why or anything like that, but they do it, but they're doing it anyway. And there's no rhyme, no reason to it. If you're looking for sympathy, I'm sure lots of gay people have been through this experience as well, but it doesn't mean that they're pedophiles. I've been through this experience, and I'm not a pedophile. Okay, now, let me say something very right off the top here before I go any further, okay, which people need to understand. Yes, there are pedophiles out there that have been abused as well. Yes. And let me also throw this out at you as well. Now, the percentage of pedophiles that abuse, now I'm talking about statistically speaking from the West now, and I'm talking about North America, is less than 1%. I don't know about Europe and Asia and all the other countries throughout the world, but I know in the West, statistically speaking, pedophiles will only offend, like percentages like, it's like less than 1%. So that's not a huge percent, although still alarming would be for most. And if you're a parent, even more alarming because you're worrying about your children. People like this that are out there. Well, there's tons of people out there like that. And until the world comes up with a better plan on how to deal with these people, all we do is incarcerate them. We chemically castrate them. Things like that. And there's very, very little psychotherapy out there for pedophiles. And another thing that really bothers me too is how the trolls were on social media, and how they're trying to normalize or trying to change the phrasing or the wording around pedophilia and then incorporating MAP into it.
Minor attracted person.
Yeah. So the MAP thing. Well, furthermore, being who I am and my experience, the first thing I'm going to think about, well, if you're thinking about it, and I've already been abused, I could just imagine what other survivors would be probably be thinking very close to the same thing I am. What the F are you doing on here trying to get sympathy from the survivors?
From a survivor group.
Survivor group.
It doesn't make sense.
It does not make any sense whatsoever. So when I say about blocking reporting, I think that's really the easiest thing to do. We can get into a long, drawn-out conversation and debate about this, but there is no really debate about it. It's just plain sick and wrong, in my opinion anyway. That's what I think. And if they're looking for sympathy, then I think they have gone to the wrong place. I know that this group, this MAP group that we're talking about here, I know they were kicked off another social media platform. I believe that was Instagram, if I stand corrected if I'm wrong. But they were kicked off there as well. And I know they would not get away with it on Facebook, so maybe that's why they haven't tried that.
Yeah, apparently they target survivor culture, too.
So. Well, there you go. That's right. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
They did attack survivor culture as well. And I haven't really heard a whole lot from them or anything about it, or I haven't seen anything through social media about it, but that happened as well.
But apparently one person admitted to another survivor that in actual fact they had 7 accounts. So it could well be just one, maybe even 2 or 3 people that are doing this. It probably is just one person that's posing as a group of people, but they're actually not.
Mm.
You just have several accounts.
Yeah, well,
we don't know that for sure,
and we can't assume that to be the case whatsoever. So when I talk about blocking and reporting, I think that is kind of the easiest way to I won't say nip it in the bud, but kick it in the ass, because really that's what they're trying to do to us in their own crazy way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. When I saw this go on, and Actually, it went on a couple times, and I think about a month ago, I saw something a little bit about this. I was inquisitive, and I wanted to know about this, not thoroughly understanding. All I know is that anybody thinking in those thoughts, whether they act upon it or not, I would be worried. Furthermore, if you're an adult, and even though you've had this experience, I've had this experience, and trust me, in my experience, I've never had to go back to those thoughts. Even though my sexuality is totally screwed up from day one, I never had to fall back on thinking about those experiences and diving it into or twisting it into a fantasy. I know I'm a little messed up, and I've been through some experiences. Excuse me, and I know many other people have considered the same darn thing. And yet, their psychological welfare or warfare, in this case, for myself speaking anyway, did not resort to me falling back to thinking about those type of actions. And being a parent makes me even more disgusted in the thought of that as well. Granted, I was a single parent raising a girl, and I'm going through all the motions, including my daughter having her first period and going through all those things, and yet those thoughts would never come across my mind. And you know why? It's very, very, very simple. I mean, obviously, anyway, but the point being is she's my daughter. She's like, you don't think like that. You just don't think like that. Mm-hmm. And in the animal kingdom, and I can't emphasize this enough, for example, in the animal kingdom, in most of the species, you would find, I mean, other than there is the odd species that's just the species that it is, but still, they don't prey on their young and do this sort of thing and totally mess them up, right? I've met lots and lots of survivors that have been sexually abused by their siblings or by their parents, some of their family. You know how messy that is? That is so messy. I mean, so you couldn't imagine. I don't know. Like it's just all over the map. And I can see why they call it math. There's no doubt about that because it's a math of no return. So I think they need to rethink what they've called themselves. Anyway, in my opinion, and anyway, that's my rant about the whole affair. I really, like I said, I really don't want to talk too much more about that. I'd rather talk about something a little bit more on a positive note, like how to deal with these people. Well, not so much how to deal, just having boundaries, healthy boundaries, and being able to take care of yourself and understanding when you do see this stuff, like, for example, come online, like on social media, whether it be through Twitter or Facebook or any other social platform that you use, to learn how to shut it off, and even best yet, being society being as they are, most of these social platforms have some sort of reporting platform or a level that you can go and report them and get them the hell off there, right? Most importantly, you can block them so you can't even see it. So All I know is that these people that I blocked from our conversation from last week have not come back, and I think they got a pretty good idea now from the conversations that were going on there that any one of us that are dealing with it, with an exception of, I don't know, hopefully nobody or anybody would do that, but I would think everybody would just block them. That would be the easiest way, because they can come back, and you can almost guarantee that they will come back. So this is why having really good boundaries is so important, so that when this time does come, if it does come, because I really don't know, I can't predict the future, I have no idea, but I'm guessing that being who they are and the psyche that they're coming from, that I can't see why they wouldn't come back, especially through the realm of social media, because it's so easy to do, and all they get to do is which they've done, and I mean it's already been pointed out that this one person in particular could have had several different accounts, so it's quite easy for them to come back under a different email address and do the whole thing all over again, which I really would not be surprised if that happens, and again we just do the same thing over again. Don't even engage in the conversation. That's what I would recommend you do. That's what I have done. So now, let's kind of just move on. I'm not really paying attention to social media if anybody happens to be talking to me right at this moment. But if you are, I apologize. I'll get back to you later on. So, what are boundaries to start off with? A boundary defines a self-imposed limit. It helps to remember where we end and another person begins. Boundaries separate us from one another This does not mean we do not, that we do not, as a human community, merge on some levels, which we do. We have to. I mean, even, well, I'll use like your job as an example, even your family to a certain degree, but we'll dive into that a little bit more. However, merging without internal boundaries in place it creates embellishments, which can further confuse and conflict in relationships, whether it be in a personal relationship or an intimate relationship or your job, your friends, who knows. It also leads to infringement of boundaries, violation of abuse. Where there is abuse, there is anger. We feel anger, we need to make a boundary. Where anger constricts, boundaries contain. It is therefore in our best interest to develop positive boundaries for clear definition in our relationships. Boundaries are made up of physical, emotional, intellectual, and even spiritual dimensions, and are influenced by our culture, personality, life experiences, rules, and so forth. Regardless of these issues, making a positive boundary means taking responsibility. This is loving your decision, even if we have to say no to someone. Positive boundaries are disciplines, not punishment. When we are punishing someone, we are harsh and unloving, shutting out the other person with pushing them away from us. This is not the same as separating ourselves from them. Because we take responsibility when we make our boundary, this also gives the freedom and choices. Research and experience indicate that the individuals skilled in setting boundaries are also more apt to stand up for their personal rights. And, it's there, but you know what? When you don't have boundaries, we just don't see it. I know myself and I didn't have boundaries. I was one of the biggest yes people around there was. But I tell you now, what I've learned over the years, when I didn't have it, I certainly know how to say no now. And I can even incorporate some other language into that, which I won't share with you at this particular moment. But I will say no without hesitation and not even feeling bad about it. Because I think about all the times that I've said yes, and I felt so horrible after I did it. Or, you know, horrible, and only that, but what happens when you over-yes yourself, what happens is you overload yourself with responsibility which you cannot, well, complete. And some of my experiences in the past have brought me to that. Now, let me also throw this in as well. Me being the type of person that I am, I've always been a helpful person. I was brought up old school, and where I grew up in the country, I grew up on a farm, so, you know, stereotype me all you want, but this is how, I wore rubber boots and all that sort of stuff, and even had a cowboy hat. But anyway, nonetheless, I grew up in a country, but these values were instilled into me, is my point. Meaning, you help your neighbor. Well, yes, I would help my neighbor, but I would probably, help my neighbor build a house and not build my own. So, you can see the logic of what I'm coming to right here now, where, you know, helping others is good, but remembering when to say no for yourself is also very important. So if I hadn't said no, I would have had my house built and I wouldn't be sitting outside in it, wouldn't be freezing outside in a tent in the middle of the winter, as an example, which is really not the case, but just saying, right? If you go too far, that's what could happen. And this is what it was like in my case. And a lot of times it would happen, but even to this day, I still overload myself very, very much. So the only difference is now, I know what my limits are. And sometimes, yes, I probably think I'm overwhelmed, and I eventually get all my stuff done, and nobody complains, and everybody's all right. But I still have a lot of time. Well, I fail, because I'm not perfect. Apparently I'm human or something like that. They told me I was, but...
It's called people-pleasing, you know.
Damn! What a great invention. Because really, people pleasing sucks. It really does.
It does suck. You're right.
But nevertheless, this sort of thing happened to me, and maybe some others can relate to this to some level of degree over their period of lifetime to now. Now, in that as well, when I talk about overloading myself, I think a lot of it too, you again, here I'm psychoanalyzing myself, but I know that myself, in the past, how I would escape my feelings of, you know, abandonment, anger, guilt, shame, all those things that kind of ride along when you've been abused as a child, which I was feeling and didn't really realize it, I would escape in my work as another form of dealing with it. But that is that was part of it too. And again, not having boundaries, you know, try to suck me right into that sort of scenario without any, well, the recourses were me feeling like crap and if I failed. So those were always at the top of the, you know, the agenda when I was trying to accomplish these things. But really, though, the end of the day is my intentions were really, really, truly honorable. Yes, I overextend myself and I help people, but that's just the way I am. That's just the way I was brought up. And I can't really change that a whole lot other than just saying no a lot. And I have developed that capability. And yet, at the same time, in the same breath, and this, where you would say, well, aren't you contradicting yourself? Well, not really. I have imposed those self-imposed limits where I can say no, but I keep busy. And to me, I like to keep busy. I'm not really much of a couch potato, so but other than right now, it's a second. I'm on the couch here talking to you.
You didn't
have a potato then. Well, yeah, I was thinking in the morning sometimes. Oh, gosh. Mr. Potato Head has nothing on me, I thought. You just saw my hair. Oh, my gosh. But learning self-imposed boundaries are really, really, really important. And me giving an example of myself and how I extend myself, and I've met other people who do the exact same thing. They really, really, you know, load themselves down. And I meet people like this all the time, to be honest with you, at the house. And, you know, obviously there's others do other things for themselves to, you know, to cope with what they've been through, as I did to cope with what I've been through. But I've met many others that kind of do the same thing in their own way, obviously. But nevertheless, they're still doing the same thing. And once they've learned to say no and say with pride and not giving a flying F, you know, you just and realizing that you are, you know, taking care of yourself for a change. And again, that's a hard thing to muster too, because when you're used to always not taking care of yourself and suddenly you start taking care of yourself, that could be a little confusing too. So when I talk a little bit more about, well, what is safe for you, for example, what are your personal needs? So, okay, so before we really jump into this now, on a personal level, mine mostly, of course, obviously, because I'm the one talking about my experience. So what would you do to, well, first of all, we need to be aware of what sort of things happen to you when you overload yourself like that. So, or rather, let me rephrase that. So we need to think about when somebody starts talking to you and all of a sudden this why word starts coming out of your mouth, and to become aware of when you do that, or maybe make your brain aware of it when this person starts talking, whether it be your boss, your friend, or whoever's asking you to do something, when you've already got like a, you know, a basket full already, and you say, well, I can just, in one part of your brain is saying, well, I can just push this in this basket, and you know, like a clothes basket, how you can, like, you can put in more than what should be in there, like you just throw it in and you squish it down, or your garbage. Well, actually,
over
the washing machine, you know, because you can squish it down. But garbage is even better, because what we're dealing with is our garbage, right? So how about I throw that there instead? Although clothes being much softer, and once you wash, it's much more pleasant thought. But nevertheless, clean laundry. But if it's actually dirty laundry and garbage. But anyway, nevertheless, we compact it, right? So, but then what I'm getting at here is, like, since we've compacted, we can figure out, we can take some more. That's one side of your brain. I believe that's the reptilian side of your brain. I think that's doing that because you're going into, oh my gosh, mode, or overload mode.
And the lizard brain.
No, that's Jim Morrison.
That was it. What? Where did that go?
and he's gone now too, by the way. But the music is great. But nevertheless, One side of your brain will jump in and say, oh, yeah, I can squish that in there, as an example. Then the other side of your brain, don't ask me what his name is, but he's there anyway. But and I know there's a clinical name for it, but don't ask me to talk about that stuff now because that's just way too smart stuff. But anyway, the other side of your brain, and it says, well, to you, and says, okay, I'm going to say yes, but, and then what happens is you say yes, and the other side of your brain says, oh my God, I just remembered, or rather, I just realized I said yes. Okay, I need to remember that now. I need to remember that I said yes, and the thing is, what compelled me to say yes? Why do I need to feel that I need to say yes and to take on more than I can chew, or I can squish in my garbage can, or put in my laundry basket? Well, there could be a lot of things that could have drove you to do that, but I'm going to talk from my point of view, being a childhood sexual abuse survivor, what probably, you know, compelled me to say yes more than I could probably handle, which brought me to the point of where I'm talking about being, which brings to the word of awareness. But the other things that are involved with the awareness is, well, yeah, I said yes. Okay, well, what brought me to say yes? So let me reach deep in my other side of the brain where it says, well, I found the awareness part of it, and what am I finding there? Okay, what was I thinking and feeling when I said yes? Already knowing that I, excuse me, knowing I was overloaded. Well, okay, well, you know what? That's past tense. So rather than try to think about that too much and make a whole lot of nothing out of nothing, which really is something, because look what you're doing to yourself. In my case, I'm talking about myself. So keep that in mind. What you've done is, okay, you said yes. You're aware you said yes, but what are the things that are attached to it? Why am I compelled to say yes? Well, for me, an example, well, I had, before I figured out that I wasn't a worthless human being, I had all these other things that I was baggage I was carrying on to. My garbage, as I was talking about, which I squished in the can. I'm talking about my shame, my guilt fear of abandonment because, well, what happened if I said no and this person walked away from me? Oh, my God, what am I going to do? As an example, there's another one right there. Guilt, shame, abandonment, fear of being isolated, not so much by myself but by others, losing your job, maybe your friendship, well, I'll talk about that a little bit, maybe you're in an intimate relationship and maybe your other partner will say, well, you have to sleep on a couch for the next month because you said no. Well, that's really extreme, but really, you know, that you know, hopefully that's not going to be the case, but I'm giving a really crazy example only just so you understand that that's the extreme. Well, that's where extreme in my mind would go anyway, right? And but being aware of those things is really, really key and important. Now, if you're really smart, I would really recommend, well, we need to find a way to retain this. So for myself personally, I chose to write it down. So I did is I needed like a shopping list, for example. In my shopping list, well, what were my fears that drove me to say yes? So but get a piece of paper as an example. You can try this at home. It doesn't cost you anything. Just pencil and a piece of paper. And let's start off with very simple. Make it very, very easy for yourself. And I don't want you to overthink it because it's just, you don't need to overthink it. Just think of five things that you know, five fears that drove you to say yes. Can you think of five fears? Well, I gave some examples there now. Some of them are just totally off the wall. But yes, in reality, for some people, that would really be the case. You know, like losing your job, you know, losing friendship, being, you know, abandonment, all those sort of things as an example. You know, and for me, well, being the person that I was, I didn't know myself. I didn't like myself. I didn't love myself. And I didn't really have a lot of friends because I didn't really trust anybody. Oh, I forgot about trust. Oh, there you go. I didn't really have a long, big connection with people. And, you know, again, that's another topic in itself, but I didn't have a huge connection with people, and I could never keep connections. So I would have those things in the fear of the back of my mind that, well, yeah, I would lose a friendship or I would lose a relationship or I would lose my job, as an example, you know. But that would always be there, and that fear of abandonment would always come up. So when I suggest you write down those findings, well, first off, let me go back to the five things that I wrote down or the things that I give an example for. Well, once I discovered that, well, one, I was a human being, to start off with, and that I had feelings, and, well, if I'm a human being, I can overwhelm myself with things, not just with work and emotional tasks, but even the everyday mundane things. If you're a parent, for example, your list of mundane things is endless. They're really not mundane, by the way, or bothersome, because if you love your child, you got to do this anyway. But being a parent, you do this stuff. You know you got to do this stuff every day, whether it's make their bed, make sure they have clothes, if they're going to school, make sure they have lunch to go to school, make sure you get them to school, pick them up on time, all that sort of stuff. If they're involved in stuff, such as sports and whatever other curricular activities they do after school on the weekends, you're involved. For example, you're involved like a charity, like a Lions Club or a Koalas, as an example, or you're involved in some kind of playhouse, or you know, something where you volunteer, or you don't volunteer, or you're just a member of a club, a chess club or something like that, or that too as well, or your work, for example. All those things come into play when you have these responsibilities, and or again, you know, really the bottom line is, well, in that list, what is really important and what are not really important. So that's why I would fall back to this. I have this list of five things, and now what I've done now, and the same piece of paper is actually what I've done right below it now, right below it, so you can see both when you write them down, is that as I wrote out five things that were important to me. What makes me feel good? And what would I like to get out of this? Meaning, that I don't feel bad about this. And then I'm also understanding about my responsibilities as well. You kind of got to throw that in there as well. Well, as an adult, that's sort of thing we got to do. Teenager, you know, well, not that they don't have responsibilities, but they do. You know, they could still go to school. But anybody, actually, in this case, doesn't really matter. Whether you're younger or older, really, it comes down to understanding that this is what happened to me. This is the fears that are coming to me, and when I decide to say yes. Okay, now, on the list below I'm talking about, this is going to be the hard part now. I'm going to ask you, you know, what are five things, again, I'm going to use five, what are five things that you've discovered about yourself that make you worthy? And that's going to be a really, really tough thing to do. I got a better idea. I'm going to change that. Okay, strike that. Give me five things where you can, here I'm getting all confused, my own jarvel here, and I've done this about 1,000 times. I'm trying to give you a couple of different examples of what you can do. The idea, what I'm getting at here, I'm starting to tell you the five things, right? The idea I'm getting at here is talking about five positive things about yourself that you've discovered. Well, this is what we've done in the house anyway. This is after a course of many, many weeks of talking about yourself and self-reflection. And one of the things I did is I wrote down five things I felt positive about myself, which I've learned over the course of the time that I've been at the house. And the five things I learned about myself, well, one is I'm a human being. Number two, for example, I wrote that I've learned that I have self-worth, for example. Number three, for example, I would have wrote down that, what did I use? I'm just trying to remember exactly what I wrote down for number three. About myself. Again, this is very, very hard. See, I'm trying to find positives about myself, which some of you out there might be relate and say, what are you talking about positive for myself? I've spent so much time hating myself and in disgust, I haven't found anything positive about myself. Well, I did find some things positive about myself, and I have a hard time describing it sometimes, but I did by doing this program at the house. Okay, so number three. Okay, I'm going to get it. Number three was believing in myself. Okay? Number four was to to learn to discover new things, discover new things that make me happy. And finally, number five was to, what was number five again? This was a tough one. It was hard, really hard to do five. Never mind trying to do two or three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even then, I feel like I'm not even describing it how I wrote it down because I don't have it right here in front of me. But the fifth thing I wrote down was to learn how to discover new good things for myself. And number five was, it's so simple. Well, for me that is because I'm the one who did it, but is to learn new ways to not to feel bad about saying no. Now, does that make any sense?
Yeah, totally.
You know, because what happened is when I was going through the process, and I still don't think I said it quite the way I wrote it out, but nevertheless, it was in that fact, and they're all positive affirmations about myself. So that is, write down five positive things you've learned about yourself. Now, I know that's going to be really tough to do, but write that down. I'm getting to that. Now, in those things that I had to learn for myself, especially number five, that was really, really hard because when you suffer those things that I've talked about already, restate that. When you struggle with those feelings all your life, and just because you're going to a place and somebody says, well, here's a new way, you know, after you've done it this way for probably most of your life, or in my case, almost 50 years, that's how I've coped. So just because somebody comes along and says, well, here, try this. Well, yes, it's great. I want to try it. And I'll probably fail the first time I do it because I really don't think I have the capacity or the ability to believe that in myself. Well, lo and behold, I learned that I did have the capacity. It took several weeks and talking about my experiences to believe that I was a human being to bring me to that level of awareness where I could say that sort of stuff. But writing those things down, and I've really never been one for writing self-affirmations, trust me. I hear people talk about self-affirmations. I really am not a person to do that. I'm more of a person that I just do it. I'm not going to go to my mirror in the bathroom in the morning and write, Dan, you look good today. What the hell's up with that shit? That's not for me. Or I'm a good person. I like the fact that people fear me. I don't know, but when I say no, I guess that's an advantage, right? But, I mean, that's extreme.
Get right on the mirror. I am vain. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'll definitely do that. I'm not vain. That's the first thing from mine. Other than I got damn nice hair. But on my head, that is. But good thing it's not my back, for heaven's sake. So I'm jumping. Grow it, eat your heart out. But nevertheless, understanding these things. So these are just kind of struggles that I went through that, you know, here I am, I'm trying to find five positive things about myself. That was really, really hard. And anybody just doing this raw, right off the hop, that's never did has never had the same experience as I had I was in a peer support group where my facilitators have already been through this program themselves and also had special training just so they could lead the groups, went through this experience. So it was really, really good hearing others, especially hearing from the facilitators when they talked about how they, well, transformed into those points and then how they had to teach themselves and remind themselves, well, that they're really not a bad person. And just because you say no doesn't mean that you're a bad person and doesn't mean that people are going to leave you and forget you. And that's really hard. That is really, really hard. It wasn't me. And I know with the point that I made about being stuck in the same crap for all those years, it made it really exceptionally hard for me. And I've met many others, that have the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not just people older and the same age, but younger as well. All I know is that when you've had this for a long time, start reframing your language to, I am a good person, keeping in mind that you've always said you were a bad person. It's just not that simple. Especially after you've had a lifetime of training and saying that sort of thing. But now, thanks to the Pierce program that I went through at the Gatehouse, It gave me a door, a platform to talk about these things, such as my self-worth, my anger, my guilt, my all my other fears that I often talk about on a level where, well, it makes sense to me. It may not make sense to you, but it certainly makes sense to me. And I think really in my healing journey and your healing journey, as long as it makes sense to you, is really all that matters. Because, you know, as we talk about, excuse me, as we know, our journeys are different. And mine, bumpy as it was, I had to figure this stuff out. Learning really good boundaries in regards to healthy boundaries for yourself is so important. So for me, when I talk about healthy boundaries, I guess the easiest way to sum it up without going into a long rant again is would be to, I didn't write them down. To me, it's just a total waste of time. I'm going to write it down. Unless I get a piece of paper, I'll probably lose that piece of paper. So I'm better off to, if I do write it down, I have to remember it or really look at it a lot and go back to it and to remember what I've written down and realize that, you know, that I'm not that person. But more importantly, this is the stuff I'm going to put up with. This is what I'm getting at. This is the juicy part here now, ladies and gentlemen. What shit am I going to put up with and say no is really what I'm getting at. So what would my personal boundaries be to not allowing people to overtake my time or to hijack my time and, you know, and not feel, you know, not, and I not feel bad because I've said no. I know I've made several points about how my lifestyle is. I'm very, very clear and open and honest about it. And nevertheless, I still have to say no, even with my crazy schedule being as it is, because I already know that I cannot take on any more than what I've taken. And I am quite comfortable that I will not and will not hesitate and to say no now whatsoever. If I can't do it, I just plain can't do it. And folks, frankly, I believe that if people don't understand that, that's just, you know, too bad in their court, because really I spent most of my lifetime not really giving a damn about my own thoughts and feelings on, you know, and you know, oh yeah, you know what, I've never added in here too, okay? I think about this now, and this could even attribute to my divorce in the past. I know that I used to escape in my work, and really what I was escaping from was from my childhood sexual abuse. And I'm sure that was a part of another reason why my marriage even ended, was because my thoughts and of being a yes person, because I could think of some instances going back, and I feel horrible about it now, but my ex-wife was correctly, absolutely right, and I've heard this from others, so I know I'm not alone when I'm saying this, is that I would, instead of taking on more kind of revenge responsibility, I would take on more work. Thinking that was my role and understanding, well, yes, the bacon is important to buy it, but at the same time, also the family unit is also very important. And this is what I choose, or rather, at that time, I failed at. So I have no qualms whatsoever saying, using that as an example, and I see this even to this day, I see this in a lot of situations, or in people out there in the world, they do the exact same thing. And also, you know, keep in mind that I'm talking about them being survivors and relating to the same experiences that I'm talking about, that they've been through this. And totally, totally get it, but that was an experience for me. And I'm sure people out there who listen to this, whether you listen to it now or in the future, will totally relate to this, especially if you've been through this experience, which I'm talking about. And that was huge. And I know that if I was to go back again, well, you know what? I can't say that. That's totally wrong. And a load of crap, because really I can't go back. I can't change that. And reality is it's just being, well, my point about being aware, right? So to me now, you know, without going back and looking forward, if I was to do that again, being in a relationship and having children, which I'm not going to now at my age, I mean, that'd be pretty scary. Children would probably run a bit long. Oh my gosh. So in the morning, my hair, oh my God. But But no, I'm a little bit past that for now. And then besides that, I've already got a daughter and two grandkids, so what more kids do I need anyway, having sex? But nevertheless, I would not go through that experience. But if I did, I would certainly have that in my mind and be aware of that. Also keep in mind that I'm also in the right frame. I'm in the frame of mind that I am now, you know, provided that, along that I've had that healing experience with the gatehouse, that it would allow me to even consider that, you know, instead of falling back on my on my fears, which was, as I've been pointing out along, about losing my job, relationship. Well, at the end of the day, I did lose my relationship and marriage anyway, but as an example, from doing the extra thing. See, that's actually a very good example too as well. Aside from other things, why my marriage ended, but which I will not get into at this point. But nevertheless, those are great examples. But coming up with a safety plan, you know, social media is another thing, and your personal life is another thing. So you really need to, if you're going to do a safety plan, you really want to divide that up, because really, at the end of the day, well, your family would be more important than your social media, for example. That's pretty much a given right there. So I don't even have to think about that, and it just blah blah blah. I just said it, right? So that was easy for me. You know, I don't need to worry about, you know, whether I befriend this person or pull away that stuff. I don't even have to think about that. That comes first, you know. And understanding about good boundaries with my family, my friends, my work, my work ethics. I mean, it's pretty standard for most people. Most people have to work, whether you work a day shift or a night shift. That's pretty much a given. If you're trying to survive and pay your rent and raise your family, well, that you can't change that. But what can interfere with it is that if you work for somebody and they ask you to work a ton of overtime, and what happens if you've got three screaming rugrats and your wife's all by herself, right? Actually, this could be the other way around now. In this day and age, you could be at home being the guy, for example. You could be even in a gay relationship, for example, and it could be that way too. Or even if you were in a heterosexual relationship, it makes no difference nowadays because both sides stay home. And I know here in this country, Canada, Ontario, you can get paid while you're at home if you're looking after your child. So in this country and this province or state, if you're in another country, whatever, but anyway, in this province, you can stay home. It does not matter what side, either spouse can stay home, is what I'm saying, or either caregiver can stay home. It does not matter. So gender, sexuality, all that stuff, don't even consider it. It doesn't really matter. Whoever's looking after that child, being the adults at home, is responsible. So anyway, my point being, back to the work thing, you know, you need to, you know, well, obviously you have to discuss it with your partner, but you need to know what is good and what is bad, for example. Like, when do you draw the line? Well, obviously, if you need to pay your mortgage and your spouse is at home, you're not making any money, you're short of money, and whatever your reason may be, you do what you got to do. I totally get that. Everybody has to do what they got to do, but at the same time, just learning to have a limit, for example. I mean, to me, I would think if you're raising young children, and yes, you got to work some overtime, which is totally understandable because you got to pay the mortgage and you got to eat, right? You gotta clothe these kids, then you got to do some overtime. But it's also very important to try to take some time to stay home and not only give your wife a break, because you got to remember, or your husband, or whoever the case may be, whoever may be at home, they need a break from time to time too. Because when you think about it, yes, you may be at work, but they're working just as hard, in some cases probably even harder, because you're dealing with adult children and you're dealing with, and whoever's at home is dealing with children. So think about it. There's a big difference, right? And you're 24, and they're 24/7, where you're going to work 8 or 10 hours, right? So, and it's also a nice break too. You need to come and think about it. I mean, there's nothing more fun than, you know, watching your 3-year-old throw food on the floor or something like that. Or, well, I call them cat pictures now, but nevertheless, this is about getting your, you know, about having, you know, about understanding which is right. I mean, I'm just giving you, to me, what I would think would be the most upfront typical thing that most people would be going through, right? But even if you weren't, you didn't have kids. Well, if you're in a relationship, well, I work all the time. I would imagine we'll spend some time together anyway. At least I would think so anyway. Unless you're just happy at work and your partner's happy with that, then I guess that's all right. But I'm just giving you an example of healthy boundaries. Never mind the extreme one way or the other way. Even though anybody you're listening, you could be, well, your lifestyle may not even be that. I have no idea. But I'm just giving these examples to, you know, to have you think a little bit about what you could do or you couldn't do. Again, at the end of the day, the choice is really yours as it was mine. But the family unit as an example, and learning when to, you know, as work as an example, and the sitting with friends and family, and then joining social clubs, stuff like that. Again, it's just knowing when not to take on too much, or volunteering and helping your neighbor build a fence or something. You can't. You're going to say something?
So how do you know, or where does it sit with you when you feel that you need to set a boundary? Where in your body do you feel it?
I feel it in my stomach.
Yeah, I feel it in my chest. Mm-hmm. So I'll get the anxiety of your chest, or it's a gut feeling, so that'll be in my stomach.
Yeah.
But and I just feel uncomfortable when someone asks something which has overstepped the mark. So it's important to know where it sits in your body, because else if you're not listening to your own body, then that's when your boundaries can get stepped over, and then you feel like you've been taken for a ride or been taken advantage of, I guess. But it's also like important to have that realization, because then next time it happens, then you know that you need to, you know, reset your boundaries.
Mm.
Because they don't stay the same constantly, do they?
No, they shift all the time. They shift all the time.
Yeah.
Because, exactly. And it's really logically that they do, because your life is never the same from day to day. And, I mean, other than your basic routine of going to work and, well, depending on if you have children or whatever your routine may be.
Mm-hmm.
Children are not children, right? Your routine is pretty much what it is. And it does change.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Me being the person that I am, I'm social when I'm not. I'm social. I do very well at work, and I bowl once a week. I play ball. I play football in the summer, and that's once or twice a week, and that's my social outgoings. Other than that, I like to be a recluse. I like to be, you know, isolated. You can use that word if you want to, or I just like to be a recluse. Right, and I'm quite happy being at home, shutting the door, closing the blinds, and I'm not home. The lights are out, so stay out, right? But that's kind of how it is. But I forcefully, I think of all those years. I'm going off a little bit here right now, but I think of all those years that I would go out socially, and I had all these masks on of really the person who I'm not. You know, I try to go out and try to fit in. I've never thought I'd fit in anywhere. You know, people always tell me, oh, you got such a beautiful smile. You know, little did they realize I was carrying a knapsack that was probably three times my weight on my back, and I was in pain constantly all the time. In my own crap from my childhood. So I've done very, very well at hiding all that stuff all those years. And I never really display my younger years, I was really, really good at displaying my anger. Well, as I got older, I learned that anger doesn't get you anywhere but in jail, which I've talked about. But in the past many, many years, especially since I did martial arts training as a way of coping with my anger, I don't get very, I've learned to now, I've just mellowed right out. It takes an awful lot to get me excited. Trust me, if anybody knows me really, really well, I don't care if you're stepping on my toe. You know, I don't get like that nastiness. It just doesn't happen, right?
You just go ouch.
I just go ouch. Get off my effing toe, will you? But really, but that was something all on itself. But I really don't get too fluttered by that. I get sometimes. I'm sure I'm like any other guy. I'm sure I get fluttered from time to time, but I don't get like outright rage and anger. It's just, I just can't do that. You know, I lived with so much anger and rage all those years. It just killed me inside. I just can't be like that. No, I don't care who you are. You know, even if I dislike you, I'm not going to hate you. That's just a total waste of energy. Besides that, hating other people just rots you from the inside. And that's really, well, in my opinion, that's what happens. That's what my experience with it is, anyway. Okay, awareness. Back to awareness. So, you know, once remembering how you felt when you said yes. I mean, that was a really good motivation for me to discover new reasons why I, you know, should have said no, right? I think of all those horrible days and nights that I felt horrible for saying yes and failing. You know, if I hadn't just learned, well, again, I'm shitting on myself, but if I had learned, then I think of all the things I probably wouldn't have got myself into. But awareness is really, really key. Discovering what makes you, why you say yes, is really, really important. But anyway, through all that time in the house, as I was talking about, I discovered about those things about myself. And one is not to feel bad about saying no. And that was a really, really hard thing to learn. And even today, I still have a hard time saying no. But I don't feel bad now because I also understand what my limitations are. I had to discover what my limitations are. So when I talk about awareness, that's why I say writing these things down. Unless you can retain it in your memory, like I have mine, is to understand that what makes you feel bad for saying yes and what makes you. There we are. Still here. Oops, I thought I was lost there for a second. But understanding these things, so writing these things down, we always talk about journeying to Gatehouse, and we use that as an aspect of healing and self-reflection, which is very, very useful for a lot of people. I know lots of people just love to write. Oh my gosh, you know, they could write and write and write, and it's just non-stop. And it's not about spelling all that sort of stuff. It's just about what's in your head and just getting it out there. Because sometimes, again, we can't always verbalize, so writing it down is just an easy way to do it. And or if you're forgetful, and that's a good way of remembering it, so you can go back and look at it and say, well, what did I actually write about that, or what did I feel at that time, and when this happened to me. So self-reflection and awareness is so key. So again, writing this stuff down is so important. But for me, understanding that, I needed to understand why I had all that guilt, for example, and shame when I did that. I mean, that's just part of it as well. And understanding the fears along with it. So the shame, the guilt, and the fears that went along with it were really, really key in helping me, you know, understand why why no was important for my own self, you know, my own self-preservation. Because functioning and dealing with that a lot of times was just really, really overwhelming. I really don't know how I got through some days thinking that I could do all this stuff and not getting it. And then the days that I did do all the stuff I said I was going to do, and then being so overwhelmed by the time I was done, I was so exhausted and emotionally, and never ever even, and the worst thing about it is never ever being able to talk about it. That's awful, not being able to talk about how you feel, because you feel overwhelmed from all the responsibility you've taken on, and you have no one to talk about it. And the only thing you worry, you fear, is your failure. And that's all you care about, is your failure. Never mind about how horrible you might feel on the inside, or those sleepless nights, or, you know, not taking care of yourself, such as eating properly and sleeping, as I pointed out. Whatever scapegoat you may use to deal with that. But, I really wanted to change that, and I have for the most part, and I'm quite happy with how I'm doing it. And again, I have to continuously remind myself that I can't take on any more than what I'm taking, And you know from as well as I have that I'm not doing anywhere near as much as what I was years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And I would always, you know, my days were really, really full. My weekends were really, really full. And you know what else it did, too, by overloading myself like that, but which really just allowed me to do was to allow myself to take the time to think about those positive things for myself and why I deserved it. Which even to this day, I still have to, you know, struggle with it sometimes, but the best thing about it is now is that I do understand that it's bullshit thinking that way, and I do deserve that some, you know, that's some sort of form of quality of life, even though I never believed that I had all those years. So discovering that I have, or rather that I do deserve that quality of life was really, really crucial. So I really refuse to go back on those things. And if I appear to have really strong boundaries, well, I do. Because I really don't want to put up that shit anymore, to be honest with you. You know what? I don't know how many years I got left on this crazy planet, but I know I spent a good part of it just fighting for, you know, fighting to survive. And really it hasn't really got me anything other than, well, I shouldn't say it hasn't got me anything. There are some things positive that came out of it, but talking about it now, I'm only thinking about the negative things that it brought me, and that was, as I keep pointing out, about the anger, the guilt, self-worth, mm-hmm. all that stuff came along with it, and then all the residue of shame that just festered through my body all those years, like, hell with that, you know? And the worst thing about it is, in this healing journey, which I've discovered, there's always little bits of shame tucked away here and there. You don't even realize you got sometimes. But the beautiful thing about what I'm talking about, though, is now is that I've learned tools, although when that shame comes up now, at least now, versus going to the ball and maybe buying, cocaine, I have the capacity to sit back and say, okay, Stu, this is really not the path you choose to do. I'll sit back and think, well, if I do that, how am I going to feel after that? Am I going to feel any worse now than, you know, to be honest with you, I would have felt worse after that. After night of that, I would have felt worse, for sure. Not just my body, but my physically, but I would have felt that worse mentally because, you know, for two things mainly. One is because I crashed and did it, and the other thing, putting that shit in my body, and my body feels like crap after that. And my body just can't take that anymore, so I don't do that. If I kept doing it, I'd probably be dead now. And that really sounds extreme and really, really bad and horrible, but it's really the truth of it. And if you look through history, you will find plenty of my example, which I've talked about for myself. And not just, never mind just survivors of childhood sexual abuse, but whatever your trauma experience in life may be, or your life direction may be. But nonetheless, that is my experience, and that's why I choose not to go that direction, because, well, it certainly doesn't serve me anymore in any way or fashion. The high isn't as high anymore, you know, and the after effects of the high and coming back down to reality really, really sucks horrible. And I'm sure that many people out there can really relate to what I'm talking about, and I'm sure there's some that can't, but nonetheless, that's been my experience. And I really encourage people that are going through this experience to, you know, if you are struggling as I have, just try to go out and try to seek some help. And, you know, and boundaries is just one of the things, you know, discovering self-worth and discovering that anger is good too, but anger only in a healthy way, obviously. And then all those other fears on top of that, being able to find a way to cope with it and manage it in a way that, you know, that you can, you know, learn to feel good about yourself at whatever capacity that may be. That's not an easy thing to do when all you've done all your life is believe in nothing but negative. Just, again, then when you discover something new, like which I have for myself, and I had to really believe in it. And the great thing about this, in discovering this stuff within myself, is nobody shoved it in my throat. I didn't have to take any magic pills. it was all about talking about my experiences and realizing that it was bullshit. So when you have self-doubt, and that's really what it is, and really self-doubt is really bullshit, in my opinion and experience, that's what it's been, because all it did was really keep me back or hold me back, not allowing me to move forward at whatever level or capacity I could. And being held back in that manner, well, if you've been through this experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And getting these times that I'm talking about for myself has not been easy, but it's so worth it for all the things that I've got out of this. And boundaries is one of the best packages, or rather, been one of the best parts I got out of this. You know, I'm learning, aside from saying no and the fuck off. Oops, what did I just say that? Oh, I'm sorry. Oops, I cussed. Oh, my God. Oh, geez, see, that's what I mean. Like, I really don't feel bad about that, but, you know, really, this is really clean stuff that's supposed to be, and I'm not supposed to be, well, here I am supposing or shitting on myself, but really, reality is, I'm not here to sharpen your skills and or my skills in foul language. But, nevertheless, folks, I really cannot banter on too much longer about this, because I don't know if I... Well, I think I abandoned myself, but I do want to leave you with some notes that I would suggest you might want to try for yourself. And again, I'm only suggesting you try. I'm not telling you to try anything, but it worked for me. One right off the hop is to go get some help, and provide you have the help, and talk to somebody who's been through this experience as well. And hopefully they've been through the same experience where they've had, well, some kind of healing. Just doesn't have to be peer support. It could have been through a therapist or whoever who had some healing where they've learned some value in themselves. See what I'm getting at? Where they've learned some value in themselves, so where they actually believe in themselves, as I finally believe in myself after all this time. To start off with, what I'm talking about is support here, is what I'm really getting at.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a really good support network, granted, social media is a really good thing if you have that access and you have nobody else. In fact, just social media even allows you to give you therapy if you can't get to it. So you could be in the UK, for example, or in the United States, or you could be in the Netherlands, you could be in Germany, you could be France, you could be anywhere. And, oh yes, we can't forget about Asia and Middle East and all the other places, provided you've got internet, of course. And you can get online and you can make connection with your local, well, may not be local, to be a therapist in another country, for example. As long as you're on the same language barrier and you understand one another, then I would say go for it. Because it gives you support and it will help you find, help you discover, well, what's going on with yourself and what you're feeling, what you're thinking. Yes, I did not understand. My scenario was peer support, but all I'm saying is about finding support network is really what I'm getting at. it's really, really, really important. Social media is good, but, you know, social media can only go so far. And as long as you understand that, that's really, really important. But I'm really, really grateful I had the Gatehouse to go to go and to help me help myself to discover who I was in order to find these boundaries. And I guess I'm really, really grateful for that. Because I'm within saying this, and even to this day, I'm still learning new boundaries. I'm still learning lots of things about myself. Just remember, I've spent the better part of my life, you know, not understanding my life. So, to me, this is, well, I get to use this phrase again. I used it once on the weekend. I'm going to use it right now. So, I call it creative awareness. And in creative awareness, you discover the things that you don't like, and in along with that list I've talked about in creative awareness, you discover the things that you do like, or what makes you feel good. And remember those facts, that when you do say no, well, that the positive parts are more important than the negative parts. So, and when you think about how good you feel just for saying no, just remember that the person you said no is gone home and they're doing their own thing anyway and life gets on. So nothing really changes other than the fact that maybe they might have changed their opinion. But I don't know. I'm only saying this because I probably because I just don't give a damn anymore, and I've really learned that. I can get into Babylon about this more and more, but I just can't. I feel like I really out-talked myself on this just way, way too much this last while. And it probably, there's a lot to do with it. Everything from, well, the troll attack, which we had last week, to my sort of counterproductive week that I just had. Although I did have a good evening at the Gatehouse last night. I can't complain about that. And we're actually coming into a weekend, so I guess that's a positive. And maybe it's because it was a long weekend. I have no idea. But I was sort of off sorts this kind of all this week. But I'm kind of looking forward to the weekend because I can put myself in a different frame of mind. But nevertheless, all the points I've talked about are quite valid, I assure you, in my own experience. And I'm quite happy to share with you. But nevertheless, folks, if you find support, find what you like. And if you don't have support, maybe keep in mind some of the things I've talked about. And keep in mind, too, like I say, I'm not a doctor or a therapist or something like that. I'm not here to tell you what to do. The idea is self-discovery or creative awareness. Find what discover what works for you. If something fails, I often use this, too, as well. When I was trying to learn good grounding techniques or in meditation, I always make this reference, but I'd say it still stands the same as with boundaries as well. Yes, you fail at one thing, so you find something else. This is positive and negative kind of built in the same way. Okay, yes, I failed, but there's a positive, so I find a new way. So you're really, what you're doing is what you're doing by saying this or having this thought in your mind, as I'm stating it, is you're really not letting the negative win. And that's what I did, is I didn't let the negative win. If I failed, I found something else that worked for me. It's just in the same way with the meditation. I learned meditation many, many, many years ago. I kind of do what I learned from my style of martial art and what the Japanese do and how they meditate and the Shotokan style that I learned. And then I studied another style, which is Wing Chun. And they use a Buddhist philosophy in behind their style as well. So I've kind of incorporated both forms of meditation. And again, I'm not finished. I also have incorporated spirituality into it as well in my own form, which is what I believe in what the indigenous population believe here and around the world. And there's no gods or anything like that. It's just about spirit and life and reality and that sort of stuff. And to me, that makes more sense. But that's kind of what I did for myself to help myself with meditation. I kind of incorporated it all into it together, and I made it my own. So that's how I made it work for me as an example of trying new things, and if it fails, find something that works for you. And when you're creating awareness, you got to keep in mind that yes, you may have failed at one thing, but you're going to find something else that actually works. And try not to be discouraged when you do fail, and please try to keep in the back of your mind that there is other things to try. And that's what I love about social media, too. You can find anything on there as far as meditation is concerned, as an example. And same thing with spirituality. Meditation. There's all kinds of resources that are out there that you can use to help yourself in finding ways of, even in grounding, as I've talked about. So I kind of got a little bit off track here, but not really. But it's kind of all related to what I'm talking about. And the trouble with my experience is that there's so many friggin' in my bucket of crap, there's so many different bricks of different crap in there that when you go through it and you sort it out, as I talk about, and I put it on a shelf where I can see it, and that's what I've done, as that's my analogy of what I've done with my stuff, because I can't get rid of it. It's there. I can see it, but at least I can manage it. And that's what I'm getting at, is I've learned ways of managing it, by having creative awareness. Help me find that. So, folks, hope I haven't set your mind off too far off and crazy. Hope I've set some valid points which hopefully you get and understand. And I hope I haven't rambled on about too much crap you don't understand, because really that's not my purpose here. My purpose here is truly, it's just strictly to support you as I've been supported myself, and to pass on what has helped me. But really, folks, I really want to appreciate your time, and thank you for coming in and listening here. I can't believe all this time's gone by already. It's amazing what how time flies by. Folks, thank you. Couple things I should mention. Oh, yes. Oh, I never mentioned this at the beginning. We did a partner program we just passed last weekend, which was another successful program at the Gatehouse. Mm-hmm. Putting this out there. Go to the Gatehouse website, thegatehouse.org, which I never really plugged from the beginning. Go in there and check out. We have tons and tons of resources there. Stuff that you can download for free out of our manuals, which we talk about in our programs, in our phase one program, our phase two program, both for the men's program and the women's program and the co-ed program. We have several other resources on our website. But I would encourage you that if you don't have help and you want some help, this is free. And you can download it on your whatever device you have. And it helped me help myself. That's what I can tell you. And it has a host of other resources on there as well. Excuse me. So what else what am I forgetting? We just did a training session not too long ago, 2 weeks ago. Oh, yes. This Saturday, I'm going to be on Rebecca Lombardo, right? On her show, 11 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. Rebecca invited me on to her show, and that's, I believe, the hashtag Keep Talking Mental Health, right? Yeah. And, you see, let me just dive in quickly because I'm running out of time once I find here. And I don't want to miss anything out here on regards to Rebecca's website. I think she also does a blog too, and you will find her on Twitter. I know she's on Facebook as well. Once I find it here, let me just do it this way, the easiest way. Just find her here. Where is it?
Search.
That's what I'm doing right now. Just bear with me 1 sec. There we go. Okay. Rebecca Lombardo, she's an author, advocate, podcaster, like myself, I'm doing here tonight. If you go to hashtag Keep Talking Mental Health, she also talks about bipolar, again, hashtag bipolar, hashtag author, blogger, and advocate. She is the host of Voices for Change podcast, which is on Saturdays at 11 Eastern Standard Time. And RT's throwing an endorsement, I'm reading off, obviously, Rebecca's page. But anyway, nevertheless, tune in, folks, and I love this. I'm going to be interviewed for change as me, I've done lots of interviews with people. This is my 164th show right now, and going on 5 years. And I've interviewed tons and tons of people over the years, but it's really, really nice because now Rebecca is going to interview me, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. I've listened to Rebecca's shows before, and all I can say is tune in and listen. And by the way, Rebecca is also going to open up a phone line, too. So if you choose to give a call in, I'd be happy to answer any questions related to what I do, of course, and relating childhood sexual abuse and my journey. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions whatsoever related to that. Like I say, if you want to talk about boundaries, if you want to test my boundaries, that's another way of doing it, too, by calling in and trying me live. And I don't think anybody would really like that, but we're not. I mean, this is not supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be about helping one another. And I could do a demonstration, but I won't. I'd rather be mindful, calm, and pause, and just be, gentle. That's what it's supposed to be. But anyway, this will be a very, very good interview, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to it. So I encourage you folks. So 11 p.m. If you're not sure, if you're on Twitter and you're listening to this right now, most of the people that follow me would know who I'm talking about. But at the time, Rebecca will release it through social media, both through Twitter and Facebook, I'd imagine, and with the link that you can get to it. In fact, I'll have somebody doing the exact same thing as well. So, if you want to tune in, be Rebecca's guest, my guest, please do. Folks, have a wonderful week. I'm pretty sure I'll be back next week. Like I said, my health is much better, although you still hear me coughing a little bit here in the background, which I'm just about to do. I'm going to try to stop. Excuse me, sorry. And I'm kind of back, and I need to get some guests on here too, which I've kind of let slide away because of my unfortunate health, which lasted a while. But I will be back on track on that. I need to get some guests in here that will help you and help me as well along our healing journey. So, folks, have a wonderful weekend ahead. I know it's late at night. What time is it? Oh, my gosh. It's 11:50 Eastern Standard Time. Anyway, folks, self-care. Take care of yourselves. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll be back. Good night. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.